I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Abobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Now, let me just continue sharing with you about how tithers fulfill the laws of sowing and reaping. Amen. Now, we were talking about the 15 laws of sowing and reaping. And I think we went up to number 7, which says your seed must die. Do you remember that? Number 1 is that you must plant something, isn't it? You must plant something. Hallelujah. You know, this morning I was watching, the First Love Center service, the prophetic encounter, and the film stars, they had a thing this morning, and they were sharing their play was about Jesus feeding multiplying bread to feed 5,000. You know, and you know, it struck me how that when Jesus wanted to work the miracle, he wanted to feed 5,000 people. That was quite an overwhelming situation. Do you get it? So he started looking for food for them. And there was a little commotion. It's like, nobody has food, you know. Then somebody said a little boy was around with a little bit of food. And Jesus took the boy's food. Now, as I was watching the thing and I saw this boy standing there, and I was wondering, or it did strike me as I was watching it, that Jesus did not spare the fact that it was even a little boy's lunch. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And then it occurred to me that there is no excuse. You have to sow something. Do you get it? A seed must go into the ground if you're going to have a harvest. Even if it's a little boy's lunch. Do you get it? At the risk of his parents coming after you. Do you see? I don't know how Hazel will feel if we take her kids' lunch. You get it? Or maybe No, right there, Rachel. You know, little Adele's lunch, a little sandwich that she brought to church for Adele, you know, and then I ask for it. Do you see? So you can see that God expects us to plant something. If you must have a harvest, you will need a seed. Amen. So no matter how difficult things are for you, learn always to plant a seed. Say amen. Amen. Right. Number 2 is that you must plant in good ground, isn't it? Number 3, some of your seeds will be lost. And then number 4, some of your seeds will be lost. Number 3 is you must plant large amounts of seed, isn't it? And number 4, some of your seeds will be lost. Number 5, some of your seeds will never develop. And number 6, you must plant the type of seeds you expect. Amen. And then number 7, your seed must die. Amen. Number eight, your seed must be given time to die. Amen. Your seed must be given what? Time to die. Are you following from your books? All right. Your seed must be given time to die. A watched pot never boils. If you keep watching the seed, it will seem to you that it never dies and never germinates. You must forget about it and decide never to remember the seed you have sown. When you do that, you would have given your seed enough time to go through the processes it must go through. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 1, the Bible says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Amen. Thou shalt find it after many days. So learn to plant your seed and let it go. Amen. Let your seed go. You know, if you plant a seed today, you know, you don't have to expect a harvest this afternoon. What do you think? Yes, you don't have to expect a harvest this afternoon. Leave your seed, allow your seed to die, and give it time. But the Bible says you will find it after many days. You will find it. Amen. It will never be lost. You will find it after many days. Amen. Now, number nine is that your seed will grow by God's miracle power. Your seed will grow by God's miracle power. Amen. Everyone who sows seeds must believe in God's miracle power. You must believe in the power of God to cause your seed to bring forth a harvest. Amen. Right? Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, the apostle says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Amen. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. God gave the increase. There's what you do, and there's what God does. Amen. So you have to believe in the miracle power of God, that God will cause your seed to become a mighty harvest, miraculously. Amen. Now, Mark chapter 4 and verse 26 also, it says, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. Can you see that? It says you should believe that you don't know how it's going to happen. Do you understand? And if you know how, then you must swap places with God. Do you understand? Yes. One of the reasons why God gets to be God is because there are some things that only he knows. Do you see? So allow God to be God. And don't try to be an assistant God. Do you understand? Yes. There are some questions you should be able to, there are some questions you should have questions, you know, to which you have no answers. Yes. You know you're trusting God, but you don't know how. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. You should have some question marks. Because the more question marks you have, the more opportunity you give God to arise and glorify himself in your life. Amen. Are you getting what I'm saying? There are some people who cannot handle question marks. They need to have everything figured out. Yes. They need to have answers. They need to know exactly what's happening. They need to know how much money they're going to have. You know, there's no faith in your life at all. But you should believe. Put that verse again. It says, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven. Where is that verse? The kingdom of heaven. Verse 26. The kingdom of heaven. So is the kingdom of God. As if a man should cast seed into the ground. Do you see? And then the next verse. He should sleep and rise night and day, and then the seed should spring and grow up, and he knoweth not how. So don't be surprised if you don't know how. Actually, if you don't know how, you are in a good place. Do you understand? Yes. The Bible says his strength is made perfect in weakness. God likes it when there is no answer to the question. Do you understand? God likes it when there is no answer to the question. Because then when he works and he moves, it's so clear. There is no competition for the glory. Because God doesn't like competition for his glory. Are you getting it? He says, my glory I share with no man. If you had to draw something, what would you prefer to draw it on? A blank sheet of paper or a newspaper, you know, cut out a page from the newspaper and give it to you to draw your thing on? Which one would you prefer? You'd like the blank one. Why? The other one is paper too. What? Right? Yeah. Ask him to come and sing. I didn't know you had a guitar. Come and sing us a song. Come on down. Just come. Yeah. Come and sing us a song. Why not? Yeah. Come stand right here. Let me just finish what I was saying. Okay, so I don't forget it. Okay. Do you know a good song you can sing? You can try. A good song that will bless us.
Okay.
All right. So find the song. I'm coming. Now listen. I'm saying, are you listening to me?
Yes.
Right? I'm saying that if you had to draw something, you would prefer to draw it on a plain sheet of paper. What is the reason for that? Huh? It shows you better, isn't it? It brings out your gift, you know. Otherwise, if you mix it up with the newsprint, if I gave you a sheet of New York Times or LA Times or something to draw your picture on, I gave you page 3 of the Times, no one would even see the picture. Other things will compete with it. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So God also doesn't want other things competing with his glory.
Amen.
Amen. So God likes it when there's nothing. God likes it. He likes to see people with nothing. When people have no hope, when people are not sure what to do, when people don't know where help is going to come from, God begins to smile. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The Bible says when Jesus was told that Lazarus was sick, the Bible says he intentionally waited. Yeah, you and I would have rushed to the scene. Because for us, the little prayer we know, it only works when the person is still alive. Do you understand? Yes. So we need to get there before the person dies. That's us. But Jesus wanted the matter to become as bad as it could be. Do you get it? Then he was there. They told him that the guy is dead. He still didn't move. Then he waited. They had the funeral. They buried the guy. Then 1, 2, 3, 4 days. Then Jesus said, my friend Lazarus is dead. I go that I may raise him up. Let's go. We are visiting Lazarus. And I'm sure the people around him were just wondering. I mean, you know, one of them actually said, by now, he stinketh. Said, by now, the matter is stinking. It's really bad. It's really bad. But that's exactly what God wants. Hallelujah. So you should never be afraid when the situation is going from bad to worse. Sometimes when situations are going from bad to worse, it gives us a feeling that God does not care. Maybe it didn't work. Maybe the prayers didn't work. No, the prayers did work. The prayers did work. Continue to believe. Hallelujah. You don't know how. You don't know how. You don't know how. And when you are dealing with God, you don't know how. Hallelujah. Now, are you ready? All right, he's going to sing the song, and I'll come back with another verse to show you. All right, so sing us a nice song. What is your name again?
Bryson or Jarrell.
All right, Jarrell, let's hear from your guitar. What song you have to sing in a church? Amen.
So worthy, Lord, yeah. You keep life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You are hope. Restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. Oh, great. Oh, great. Sing it out.
Come on, church. In our lives, we pour out our praise. Woo! Sing it out with all your heart. Find your place of worship in this kingdom. Yeah, you're so worthy, God. We pour out our praise, God. Yes, yes, Lord. We pour out our praise, God. Hallelujah. You're worthy of all the praise and glory and honor, God. There's no one like you, Jesus. Heaven and earth adore you, Lord. Heaven and earth adore you, God. And all the earth will shout your praise. We'll cry these bones, we'll sing great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise, we'll cry these bones.
Pour out our praises.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus.
Oh, great.
You're worthy, God.
Great are you, Lord.
He that dwelleth in this secret place.
Give him a hand. God bless you, brother.
It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out. Yes, we pour out. It's his breath in our lungs. So we pour out. Yes, we pour out. It's his breath in your lungs. So pour out your praise. Pour out your praise. It's his breath in your lungs. In your lungs, so pour out your praise.
Tell somebody it's his breath in your lungs, so pour out your praise.
Pour out.
Sing it again. It's his breath in your lungs.
It's in my lungs.
Pour out your praise. Pour one more time. It's his breath in your lungs. Come on. Pour out your praise. Pour out your praise. It's his breath in your lungs. Pour out your praise. Only God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give Jesus a clap offering, everybody. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Right. Amen. How many believe that came from the Holy Ghost? Yes. Amen. Right. So you may be seated. Amen. Now we were talking about Lazarus and how that it was a real bad, bad situation. The Bible said Jesus said to them plainly that Lazarus is dead. Right? Let's read from verse 10. It says, but if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. Right? Verse 11. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. And verse 12, then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well.
You know, these guys have been walking all day, you know, and they were envying Lazarus. You get it? At least he's found some sleep. So they were saying that, hey, if he's found time to sleep, God bless him. Then saith his disciples, no, bring that again, verse 12. Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Then verse 13, it says, howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. You know, then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. It's a bad situation. But God majors in bad situations. Hallelujah. God majors in bad situations. You won't know how. You don't know how. Don't be worried when you don't know how. Amen. You know, let me show you another verse in the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 4. The Bible says that he that observeth the wind shall not sow. Can you see that? It says, if you look at your circumstances and if you look around, then you will not sow. And he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. You know, because that's the effect of not sowing. So if you look at your circumstances, if you're going to pay attention to your bills and look at your bills and look at what needs to be paid and everything that needs to be sorted out, you will not sow. You will eat your seed, which will not be enough anyway, isn't it? Yes. And then the next verse, look at the next verse. He says, as thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, you know, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. Can you see that? He says, you don't know the ways of the spirit. And you don't know how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. I mean, in it is here, you know, bones are growing in your womb. Do you know how? No. You don't know how. Yeah. Even John Jack doesn't know how. Do you know how, monsieur? No, to know how? To know how? SK2 know how? No. Yeah. Pa know how. Yeah. He doesn't know how. Look, you have to accept that there are some things that are beyond you. You don't know how. You don't know how. And the fact that you don't know how is not supposed to stop you from having faith. Do you see? People who are operating by the mind will call you stupid for having faith and for believing when you don't know how. For saying, we're doing it, when you don't know how. For saying, we're going to buy this, when you don't know where the money is going to come from. When you don't know how you're going to make it. When you, for saying, I'm getting a new car before the end of the year. Amen. And you don't know how. You don't know how. And people around you will call you stupid. They'll call you dumb. You see, but the Bible says, as thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. Even so, in the same way, you don't know the works of God. You don't know the works of God. You don't know what God can do. You don't know what God can do. You don't. You don't. You don't know what God can do. So look at the next verse. Next verse says, so in the morning, sow thy seed. And in the evening, withhold not thy hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall alike or be alike good. You don't know what's going to happen. So never stop sowing. That's what it says. He that looks at the winds, if you look at the winds that are blowing in your life, you will not sow. You will not pay your tithe. You will eat your seed. Because the winds can blow and blow so hard, so strong sometimes, that you feel like you need everything you have. You need everything. You need your tithe plus my tithe plus everybody's tithe. And that will still not be enough. And if you look at the clouds, you will not reap because you don't have anything down there. Are you understanding me? But he says that you must acknowledge that you don't know everything. You don't know everything. You don't know everything. You don't know how God is going to do it. God is a God of miracles. Hallelujah. And we better believe it. If we're going to walk with God, we must become believers in miracles. Can I have an amen? Amen. We must become what? Believers in miracles. Amen. Amen. Right. Then number 10, quickly. You must recognize your harvest when it comes. Amen. You must recognize your harvest when it comes. There are people who are good givers but poor receivers. To successfully activate the laws of sowing and reaping, you must be a good giver as well as a good receiver. Amen. And to receive, you must recognize the day of the harvest. You must see when God is blessing you. Amen. You must see when God is blessing you. You must recognize the different ways in which he allows you to reap the seeds you have sown. If you were to count your blessings, perhaps you would see how good the Lord has been to you. But many times, the Lord returns your harvest in a way you never expected. Ask God to open your eyes so you appreciate his blessings and the harvest of your seeds. Amen. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. Amen. Now you have to learn to recognize it when God is blessing you. Amen. You have to recognize it. You know, recently, see Zoe. Right? She sent me a text message. She said, Daddy, I need some money. She said, I've run out of money. I need some money. Then 2 hours after that, she sent me a screenshot of a text message that someone has sent to her. The person said, I want to give you some money. You wouldn't even believe it. You know? I want to give you some money. How do I get it to you? So she took a screenshot of it and she sent it to me. So I asked her, did you ask him for money? She said, no. She said, no. Then I had to sit up and just say, well, that's the Lord. The Lord is paying my bills. It is the Lord. It is the Lord. Yes. Yes. If you want to call it coincidence, you choose that. One of God's names is coincidence. Yeah. Chance, coincidence, all those are God's names. Yes, they are all his aliases. Sometimes when he doesn't want you to know, he signs off as coincidence or chance. But it is the Lord. I mean, how can it be? How can it be? You know, exactly 2 hours after she sent me the message, then somebody sends her, I'll just show it to you. Some of you need to see to believe. You believe? Okay, then. You can see me after church, I'll show it to you. She just sent the chat log. The person said, I want to send you some money. You know, and then the person added, anytime you need money, you should ask me or something like that, or you should come for it. So, yes. So have an eye out for the Lord's provision. Are you getting what I'm saying? Recognize it when God is making you reap the blessings and the things he has for you. Amen. Amen. Some of us are not good receivers. Do you see? But you should recognize it. When something good is happening, you should recognize this is the Lord. The Lord is blessing me. I'm not talking about an arrogant assumption of entitlement. Do you get it? You shouldn't be saying, of course. Like, I didn't look at the text message and say, of course, I deserve this. No. It's just a humble acknowledgement that this is the Lord. This is the Lord. Do you get it? Yeah. How come when somebody is thinking of giving me a bill, as she's sending me a bill, you know, then somebody is at the same time just sending a text message. You know, and if I tell you who, you wouldn't even believe it. It's a most unlikely person who is actually doing that. Yes, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. Hallelujah. Next one, you must become a humble receiver. Right? You must become a humble what? Receiver. Right? It takes humility to receive gifts from people. Many givers are too proud to receive gifts from others. They say to themselves, I don't want anyone to think I need anything. I don't want anyone to think I lack anything. It is that pride which keeps people away from the priesthood. People are kept away from the priesthood because pastors need humility to receive gifts from people. Without humility, you cannot receive. Pride cries out from within, I have need of no one. I need nothing. I am independent. Be careful, because we all need one another. Hallelujah. So, another thing is to be humble enough to receive. Amen. I mean, God had to work on me on that. I remember, sometimes I would go to a place and somebody would give me, or some people would give me gifts. And before I leave the place, I share the gift. Yeah, I just share it with, I share it to the people who are around. Yeah, because I feel like I don't need anything. Do you understand? But God showed me that that's how I meet your needs. You know? And so I had to also be humble to receive. Everyone has to be humble. You see, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 8. Look at this verse. Matthew chapter 10 verse 8. It says, this is a verse about casting out devils and so on. You just look at that verse. I'll show you something very quickly. It says, Matthew 10 and verse 8, it says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Can you see? Yeah. Right. He said, freely ye have received, freely what? Yeah. Right. So, what we know is give freely. But give freely is preceded by receive freely. Do you understand? That you are supposed to receive freely. Receive freely. So if anybody decides to give you anything, learn to be humble and receive freely. Receive freely. And enjoy it. Yeah, receive freely. Ask your neighbor, do you feel like giving me anything today? I will receive it freely. Yeah. Tell your neighbor, listen, if you feel like buying a tank of gas for me today, I mean, I'll receive it freely, freely, freely. Yeah. If you feel like paying my next hairdresser bill, I just want you to know I'll receive it freely, freely. Yeah. If you feel like paying for my next visit to the barber shop, just let me know, because I'll receive it freely, freely. If you feel like paying for me to do my nails, show them your nails. Then just tell them, I receive it freely, 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 freely. Hallelujah. Anyone who is supposed to give freely is supposed to learn how to receive freely. Amen. And you shouldn't let anything stop you from receiving. Amen. There are different kinds of gifts. Some are large, some are small, some are significant, some are not so significant, but they all work together to meet your needs and to bless you. Say amen.
Amen.
Number 13, do not refrain. Number 12, do not refrain from sowing unlikely seeds. I'm just going to read through very quickly. There are many seeds that look unlikely to prosper. One day I held the hand of a brother who was sowing a seed of $5. I said to him, "This is a car." The next day, someone called him and gave him a car. Yeah. How could that be? It was an unlikely $5 seed, but it turned out to be a great blessing. This is why the Bible says, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both alike shall, they both shall be alike good. You know, for many years, all right, let me just skip that. Number 13, use some of your harvest as a seed. Amen. Use some of your harvest as what? A seed. Remember, every fruit, or at least most fruits, contain the seeds, isn't it? It's not just the fruit to enjoy, but there's a seed in it that you are not supposed to enjoy. Amen? You're supposed to plant that one to ensure that you will have a harvest again. Amen? So for God, who gives seed to the farmer to plant and later on good crops to harvest and eat, will give you more and more seed to plant and will make it grow so that you can give away more and more fruit from your harvest. Amen. When the blessings come, remember to pay your tithes and honor God. Honoring God is the first thing you must do when you're blessed. Unfortunately, people forget the Lord in the day of their blessing. They begin to say things like, "I earn too much to pay tithes. 10% is too much for the church." You know, what, last time I took an Uber ride, you know, they have, I don't know if it's Uber or Lyft, but one of them has, the tip thing. It's Uber, or they both do, right? Yeah. Then they do a suggested tip, and they start from 18%. Yeah, 18%. Yeah? There's no tip. Then there's suggested tip or something, 18%, and then, or custom tip. Yeah? And I was thinking, even my Uber driver is expecting 18%. Then God gave us a discount. God didn't do badly at all. My Uber driver, who was sneezing throughout, even he was expecting 18%. All right. Hallelujah. If you do not use part of your harvest as a seed, poverty will come upon you in the future. Do not set your eyes on money and feel secure, for riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Right? That's Proverbs 23 and verse 5. Money is deceptive. The Bible calls it the deceitfulness of riches. Money deceives. It tells you you'll be rich forever. But that is not true. You need to put your trust in God. Do not let your harvest lead you to the common delusions of rich people. Right? Now, Genesis chapter 41. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. let Pharaoh do this. Let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh. And let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. Amen. Well, what this is saying is that, you know, you should remember that God gives you seed so that you can plant against a difficult time. Are you getting it? Yeah. Against a difficult time. The fact that you're driving a car today doesn't mean you always have a car. Are you getting it? Yeah. That doesn't mean you always. Sometimes it just takes only one day and then suddenly you're carless. Carless for a long time. You get it? So sow seeds. Sow seeds all the time. Amen. Sow seeds all the time so that in your time of lack and famine, some of your seeds will rise up and speak for you. Amen. Then the last one, you must enjoy some of your harvest. Amen. You must enjoy some of your harvest. You must enjoy the harvest that God gives you. It looks as though we have the problem of either one extreme or the other. Some people are unable to enjoy the blessings that God gives. It is an evil disease to work hard and sow seeds, but be unable to enjoy the fruit of your labor. Make sure you do not have this evil disease spoken of in the book of Ecclesiastes. What is it? It says, a man to whom God has given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth, yet God giveth him not the power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity. It is an evil disease. Hallelujah. It is an evil disease to work and to have money and you don't have the power to spend it. Some people suffer from that. They don't have the power to buy even anything nice for themselves. Everything nice they buy is for someone else. Either to make an impression, you know, or genuinely to give to someone. But they can't enjoy themselves. But you should learn to give yourself a treat. Learn how to do it. Learn how to give yourself. Once I was at an airport with one of my friends, and, you know, we were going to eat something, you know. Initially, we were going to eat one of these fast food things, you know. Then he brought an idea. He said, you know something? Why don't we go and sit in a restaurant and have somebody serve us instead of eating in these paper bags and so on? Yeah. And I thought about it. Ah, this is a good idea. So I also said, let's go upstairs. Yeah. So we found this restaurant upstairs. And we went and we sat there. There was a waiter in a bow tie, you know. Say, yeah, bring the menu. Yeah. You know, and we ordered some good food. You get it? Yeah, you need such friends. Friends who bring such good ideas. You get it? Yeah. Friends who save you from Popeyes and other. As for Chick-fil-A, well, the Lord bless them forevermore. Hallelujah. But learn to enjoy what God has given you. Don't be afraid of shortage. Amen. See, it's the shortage that keeps you from enjoying it. Hallelujah. That it will finish. Just enjoy. Amen. Yeah. Sometimes it's good to be married to a sanguine. They don't see no problem anywhere. Let's just eat it. Let's just eat it. Let's just finish it. not a problem. Yeah. You get it. If you're married to a melancholic person, bring financial. I mean, if you're a financial analyst, get a job with Bank of America. Bank of America. Don't analyze this little chicken. Let's finish the chicken. Poisson brisé. Yes, let's finish it. Hallelujah. God will provide. So learn to enjoy it. Amen. When you get an end of year bonus or something, buy something nice for yourself. Buy something. It's called bonus. It's called bonus. That's what it is. You are supposed to live off your salary. Don't carry your bonus and give it to AT&T or Spectrum or one of those cable companies. No, you owe them, so and don't do that. Those ones must wait for your paycheck. But bonus is for doing bonus things. It's for just feeling free. Yeah, just being happy. Hallelujah. I see you receiving a bonus this year in the name of Jesus. God will send a bonus your way and it will bless your life. Say amen. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Amen. It's been a good service. Amen. Hallelujah. Close your eyes with me and let's pray. Just ask the Lord, everybody, just pray and say, Lord, I want to be a seed sower. I want you to give me more opportunities to sow seeds. Yes. And Lord, I'm going to pay my tithe, starting with my tithe. And then after my tithe, I'm going to sow seeds into the work of God, seeds into people's lives, seeds into my friends' lives, seeds into family members' lives, seeds, Lord, of help, every kind of seed. I'm going to have something in the ground. Always, I'm going to have something growing, something that is growing in my name. I'm going to do that, Lord, from today. So I want you to help me. Please, help me to be a seed sower. In the name of Jesus. Everybody just tell the Lord, make me a seed sower, please. Make me a seed sower in the name of Jesus. A sower of seeds. And a sower of seeds will never lack bread. God will give you bread. God will give you bread. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes. I wanna be more like you. Jesus, I wanna be more like you. Jesus, I wanna be a vessel you work through. I wanna be more like you. I wanna be more like you. I want to be more like you. Jesus. I want to be a vessel you work through. I want to be more like you. Come on, lift up both of your hands and tell the Lord, I want to be more like you. Jesus, I
wanna be more like you. Jesus, I wanna be a vessel you work through. I wanna be more like you. I wanna be a vessel. I wanna be a vessel. Oh, I wanna be more like you. Oh, I wanna be a vessel you work through. I wanna be more like you. Now, as we close the service, if you're here this afternoon and you want to give your life to Jesus, you want to know God, you want to have a relationship with God, I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus. I'll just ask you to raise up your right hand and I'll pray with you. You want to give your life to Jesus. You want to be a child of God. You want your sins to be forgiven. You want to come to Jesus. You want to know Jesus. You want to know God in a very personal way. This is your afternoon and God wants to meet you right where you are. Just raise up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Is there anyone who wants to give your life to Jesus today? Is there anyone who wants me to pray with you? You want me to pray with you? You want to give your life to Jesus today? Is there anyone here like that? Or maybe you're online. You can join us as we say this prayer. Everybody join me as we say this prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus. Say it again. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I thank you for dying for me.
I believe with my heart
that God raised you from the dead. And you died because of my sins. So, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Forgive me, Jesus. Let your blood wash me. And let your blood cleanse me. And make me a child of God. Say, from today, I want to serve you. I want to be a child of God. Say, from today, I want to live for you, Jesus. I want to live like a child of God. Say, from today, please touch my life. I will never be the same again. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I want to be a vessel you work through. I want to be more like you. I want to be a vessel. I want to be a vessel. You work through. I want to be more like you. Sing it again. I want to be a vessel. I want to be a vessel. You work through. I want to be more like you. Right. Now, we're going to have communion in a moment. And we're going to do that. Cowie, I just sent you the communion. Just we're going to join the prophet as we have communion. But I want you to look at this verse quickly while you're standing. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 10. The Bible says, verse 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God doesn't force people to do what they don't want to do. Do you understand? In fact, the verse before that, verse 6, says, he which soweth sparingly, do that, verse 6. This I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Then it says in the next verse,
every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So when it comes to giving, God just wants people to find their level. He says, choose sparingly or bountifully. It's really up to you. But God doesn't want you to do something then complain after that. Can you see that? Then it says in verse 8 that God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. That you will always have more than enough for any good thing that must be done. God is able to do that. God is able to do that. Are you understanding it? And then verse 9 says, as it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Then verse 10 says, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown. Do you understand that? So when you sow a seed, God will give you something to eat in the meantime while he works on your seed. Hallelujah. He will minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and then increase the fruits of your righteousness. Hallelujah. So don't be afraid. God will provide. God will provide. Don't be afraid to allow yourself to get to the place where you really don't have anything. You really don't know what to do. You really don't know where it's going to come from, because God will provide. Hallelujah. Hold yourself out for a miracle and give God a chance to prove to you that he can supply your needs. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. Bring the communion round and let's receive it. Amen. To the First Love Center and join the prophet as we
pit wherein there is no water. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
How have the prisoners come out of the pit? I can't hear you.
By the blood.
How have the prisoners come out of the pit?
By the blood.
How have the prisoners been sent out of the pit?
By the blood.
By what?
The blood.
By the blood. Now, which pit? That is the pit of hell.
Yeah.
We are all supposed to go to the pit of hell.
That's right.
How many here have told a lie before? Let's say more than 100 lies.
Yes.
How many have stolen something before?
Yes.
How many have eaten something you shouldn't eat?
Yes.
How many have been jealous before?
Hey.
How many have fought before?
Hey.
How many have fought blows before?
Hey.
Sisters. How many have done bad things before?
Yes.
Degrees in bad things.
Yes.
But now, you are supposed to be sentenced to the pit.
That's right.
But the Bible says in Zechariah chapter 9 verse 11, as for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. Remember when the rich man went to hell? What did he say? I pray thee, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in what? Water. So this pit has no water. It's a waterless pit. One day I watched a film, Clint Eastwood. In that film, somebody was shot and the person was dying. Just as the, but that's how I saw the film, but the actors were really, they knew what they were doing. As the person was dying, he started to ask for water. He was bleeding. He said, wow. I need water. I need water. And then he died. So when you are bleeding, you start to need water. So today, instead of going to that pit, by the blood, you are out.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Stand to your feet. Lift your bread up. Father, we thank you for the bread, the body of Jesus Christ, which is broken for us.
Yes.
We thank you in the name of Jesus. Let the brokenness of the body be the reason for the healing of our bodies.
Yes.
Any broken part of our bodies is healed by this broken body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ.
The body of Jesus Christ.
And now take the blood, the wine. By this blood, every trap, every pit, every hellfire, every Gehenna, every lake of fire, you have escaped it.
Amen.
By the blood.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus.
Lift your hands for your blessing. Lift your hands. May you walk free from every chain.
Amen.
Every trap you are falling into, you are coming out free.
Amen.
You are coming out free.
Amen.
You are coming out free.
Amen.
With no damages.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every snake that has bitten you.
Yes.
With venom.
Yes.
I declare the poison in your life.
Yes.
Is neutralized.
Neutralized.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every foul bed that has landed on you. To pluck your eyes out.
Yes.
To pluck your brains.
Yes.
To take from you. That bed. That flying creature is rebuilt today.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let me hear your loudest amen.
Amen.
Receive freedom.
Receive.
Say, I receive it.
I receive it.
Receive freedom.
I receive it.
Receive deliverance.
I receive it.
May your hands always be lifted up in victory.
Amen.
May your hands be lifted up in joy.
Amen.
This week,
yes,
may you find things that make you genuinely happy and joyful.
Amen.
Let me hear your loudest amen.
Amen.
Whatever makes you cry.
Yes.
Whatever makes you sad.
Yes.
What makes you have sleepless nights.
Yes.
I rebuke it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
From today, your sleep, yes, will be sweet.
Amen.
May God lift up your head.
Yes.
In every crisis.
Jesus.
And in every difficult situation.
Amen.
In the name of He who lay in the grave and said, I shall arise after 3 days.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes. Your head is lifted up.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let me hear your loudest amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you.
Your head is lifted up.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Your head is lifted up.
Amen.
Your head is lifted up.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.